First, pop poetry. According to Jim Elledge, the literary world has no reservations about welcoming pop culture with open arms. Elledge and Susan Swartout are the co-editors of Real Things, a poetry anthology that includes poems about Rapunzel, Michael Jordan, Rita Hayworth, Frankenstein, Coca-Cola, Marilyn Monroe, and Superman. Elledge told Dan Strangechamps about some of them.
There are many, many, many out there, and popular culture seems to be a topic that seeps into American poetry in very important kinds of ways, I think, and at all kinds of levels, too, younger poets as well as poets who have been around for quite a while.
Some of them are really kind of heartbreaking also. I'm thinking there's one about Michael Jackson that also takes a pop culture, a pop icon, to a kind of, I don't know, level of psychological intimacy that's really sad in this case. Maybe you could read that one. It's called Neverland by Yusef Komunyakaa.
I'd be happy to, and I think you're right, it is a very sad poem. I don't wish you were one of the Jackson Five tonight, but only that you were still inside yourself, unchanged by the vampire moonlight. So eager to play the other, did you forget Dracula was singled out because of his dark hair and olive skin? After you became your cover, tabloid headlines grafted your name to a blonde boy's. The personals bled through newsprint across your face. Victor Frankenstein knew we must love our inventions. Now, maybe skin will start to grow over the lies and subtract everything that undermines nose and cheekbone. You could tell us if loneliness is what makes the sparrow sing. Michael, don't care what the makeup artist says. You know your sperm will never reproduce that face in the oval mirror.
What made you choose this one for the anthology? What did you like about it?
You know, Michael Jackson is a figure that has been important in our culture for many years now. Whether you like him or dislike him, or whether you like his music or not, it doesn't really matter. He is, as a figure, an important individual. And I liked what you had to say about it earlier, that this really is a very sad poem. I think that Komunyakaa really gets at the gist of Jackson's life on a very important kind of level, kind of self-hatred, causing him to recreate himself into some kind of a creature like Victor Frankenstein did with his creature. Frankenstein, of course, used other bodies in order to produce the creature, whereas Jackson used his own, of course. And there's a huge sadness there, I think.
Are there any particular poems that are special favorites of yours that you'd like to read today?
I mean, all of them are.
This person,
so it's really hard to decide. I like a lot. Actually, there are two that I really like. One is Bill Trowbridge's poem, Viet Cong. And it's a play. Actually, Cong is spelled K-O-N-G. And it's a play with King Kong. The poem is one of a series of, I think, 12 poems, all dealing with King Kong and all dealing with his, quote, life after the movie is over, the original King Kong. Hmm. And in these series of poems, King Kong tries to get on with his life. He goes to a video dating service, for example, to try to find a date. He tries to get jobs, so he joins the Marines at one point and isn't very good at it. He sticks out too much. He goes to a talent agency, and there are no parts for an individual such as himself. But in this particular poem, Trowbridge tackles something slightly different, I think. But I'll read Viet Cong. Each one showed me his gold medal, talismans from the FBI. A name too holy for them to say. These agents wish to trade questions for answers, something like the cult of Jeopardy. Why do you spell it with a K? They asked. I told them I knew the state capitals, but I did not know spelling. I asked if I could try another category, perhaps state capitals. They said they believed I was being smart, which is taboo, that I could remain silent. I take this FBI to be a jealous god, full of paradoxes and taboos, but perhaps not so good on state capitals.
That's really
great.
Isn't
that great? I love it, too. It's truly wonderful. There's another one in here that I really like, Vanna White's Bread Pudding. And it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about how recognizing or how idealizing certain icons makes us or can make us feel as if we are sharing in their celebrity, their status, and all their good fortune. And this poem is called Vanna White's Bread Pudding. If not famous ourselves, oh, let us nudge up against stars and starlets everybody knows, everybody envies for all the sweet attention they receive. Like when in Mother's restaurant, a table opened up for us, lucky guys. Next to the table in the corner were three good-looking women sat, attended by some sharp fellow and looks from all the other patrons. Damn if we didn't set down our gumbo and red beans and cold Dixie beer beside the TV personalities in town to do business and enjoy good food. Damn if it wasn't Vanna White herself sitting there in the flesh, in pink, face from the Wheel of Fortune weeknights, figure that turned the letters round and turned all the heads and mothers and drew a chorus in whispers, Vanna White, Vanna White, Vanna White. Next to us, not an arm's length away. And when the owner himself came over insisting she try the famous bread pudding, despite her protests, despite her trim waist, despite the waste she hated to see, damn if Vanna didn't turn, smiling, and offer her bread pudding to me. To me. Damn if I didn't say thanks and take it. Damn if it wasn't sweet, buttery, hot, and therefore gone in a wink, like a star falling into my heretofore but no more anonymous lap.
Vanna White's Bread Pudding, read by Jim Elledge, co-editor of the poetry anthology Real Things. Anne Strainchamp spoke with him.